Westminster Weekend up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Today, Pastor Chris Gordon joins the program again to talk about what he did over his summer vacation last week in London, Ontario, Canada. Well, it wasn't exactly a vacation. He was a delegate to the Synod of the United Reformed Churches, and they tackled a number of issues of huge importance to believers everywhere. We're going to be talking about some of those issues today on Westminster Weekend. Hi, Chris, and welcome back to Westminster Weekend.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Well, you were in London, Ontario. I was joking about your summer vacation. You were actually sitting in meetings for hours and hours, and you were a chairman of some of these meetings. But first of all, let's talk about what a synod is. What is a synod, and why on earth would a minister spend a week of his life when he could be, you know, doing evangelism, or he could be planning vacation Bible school, or doing any number of important things? Why would you sit in meetings? Aren't you just wasting time, a valuable time, when you could be doing something useful?
Well, I think the first way to answer that, Scott, is to understand that there is a biblical precedent for this. We see in Acts 15 that the churches came together and had assemblies to deal with doctrinal matters and issues pertaining to the life of the church. So we do this, you know, in America today we're so used to being islands as our own churches and have no accountability or ecumenicity with other churches. And here we have a federation of churches where we meet in these broader assemblies. We deliberate to deal with issues of doctrine, administration, how we apply what we confess together. We have a broader accountability to one another as we move forward as churches. So this is something that's important to help us and aid us to protect the purity and the doctrine and the life of the church.
One of the words that you used in your answer is the word church. When people think of the church, they often think of believers, and they don't think of an organization. They think of an organism. What's the importance of a visible, institutional, organized church?
The importance of that is as I stated a moment ago, broader accountability. You know, one of the things that we emphasize in our churches is that we call these meetings that we have broader assemblies, and we show that we are part of a larger expression of the church throughout the world, but also with like-minded brothers and sisters whom we have federated with in churches. And these broader assemblies express that. They express that on a broader level of our unity in the Church of Jesus Christ, as we are our one body.
What did you do when you got together? Did you do anything of value? And here I'm thinking about the reports posted by our intrepid, fearless reporter in Ontario, London, Ontario, Gabrielle. She lists several things, and let's talk about some of those things. First of all, one of the issues that you tackled at Synod this year was the question of what is the gospel and how are sinners right with God? Tell us about that.
We have been dealing, and we've talked about this before over the radio, but we've been dealing with a movement that has taken place in Reformed and Presbyterian churches called the Federal Vision, which has challenged at the core the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And we had produced in our churches a report. We had put together a committee at our last synod. We had appointed one that wrote a report on the nature of justifying faith, the doctrine of justification by faith alone in light of this recent controversy. And we came together this time and dealt with that report, affirming what we believe and confess together as churches, even strengthening our position so that to make clear that we reject these teachings and that anyone who holds these teachings in our churches is to be dealt with and face ecclesiastical discipline. So this was an important subject. because this strikes at our hope, this strikes at the gospel. And Scott, and it was really amazing to me that we even have to deal with this. But in light of recent controversies, this is just our responsibility to contend for the faith and to apply our confessions and what we confess together to the current controversy, stating clearly what we believe on this crucial article of our faith.
And so what did Synod conclude on these issues? And was it unanimous?
Yeah, the beautiful thing about this is that, first, we concluded and exposed, again, the errors of the Federal Vision movement and made clear in succinct statements what we confess together. So we have these statements that we will be recommending to the churches for them to hold fast to, and also producing this report for them, or handing out this report for them to study. The beautiful thing is that when this was approved and it was voted, there was not one dissenting voice. As a matter of fact, the whole assembly broke out in applause, in excitement that we had stood fast and held fast to the historic understanding of justification by faith alone. And let me just say, this is important. This is important to demonstrate how best to contend earnestly for the faith and why it's so important to have these broader assemblies where we can speak in a uniform way to all of our churches in the federation that we have joined against these teachings and to expose them properly.
You're listening to Westminster Weekend. I'm Scott Clark, and we're talking with Pastor Chris Gordon from the Linden United Reformed Church. We're talking about what he did, as it were, over his summer vacation. He was at the Synod of the United Reformed Churches in London, Ontario, Canada. And when we come back after this break, we're going to talk about a very difficult question. It's something with which people struggle, and that is this young, restless, and reformed movement. There are young Calvinists, according to Time magazine and others, all over North America who are rediscovering the Reformation. But as they're doing that, they're also redefining what it is to be reformed. And that question came up at Synod this summer in London, Ontario. And the question came in this form: what is necessary to believe in order to become a member of a Reformed congregation? Do you have to believe everything that the Reformed churches confess, or can you pick and choose among those things that the Reformed churches understand Scripture to teach and still become a member of a Reformed congregation? And we'll get Pastor Gordon's take on that question right after this. In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California. For Christ, his gospel, and his church. So, Chris, the question that was faced at Synod, one of them was, what is necessary to believe in order to become a member of a Reformed congregation? Why does that question matter, and what happened?
Well, this was a big issue for us at the Synod. In the United Reformed Churches, we're really trying to struggle a bit to find our own identity and who we are, and these sort of questions come up living in the midst of the American evangelical world, where standards for membership today really are non-existent. And when you have churches that are really trying to hold these standards, these questions come up. How far do we hold these? What sort of requirements? Well, Reformed churches, we have aligned together in what we confess. And so, United Reformed Churches, we have our three forms of unity: the Heidelberg Catechism, the Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. And these provide us a basis by which we walk together in unity in what we confess. Well, the challenge that was brought before the Synod, we had appointed a study committee at our last Synod to deal with the level of doctrinal commitment. In other words, who can be members in our churches, and what sort of commitment to our doctrines what level do they have to hold to become members? And so there were really two positions. There was position one that gave more allowance for those who didn't hold to maybe all the or understand all the doctrines confessed in our three forms of unity, for instance, infant baptism. Could they be members? And that position said as long as they were not basically belligerent, they could be members of our churches. The other position said that no, there has to be full assent. There has to be full agreement with our confessions to become members. Now, I think it's important to say, maybe give an analogy or an example of this. You know, recently we had a Baptist family attending here in Linden, and they wanted to become members, and we had to work with them on that issue. But we had to hold forth our confessions and ask the question, do you agree with these? And they said they could not. When you think of all the plethora of churches we have around us, there are Baptist churches they could attend, there are Methodist churches, there are a whole bunch of different churches that they could align with. The issue for us is we have agreed on these statements, and therefore we have to hold fast to what we confess to preserve the unity of what defines us and expresses our unity as Reformed churches. And so that was really the big issue that had to be wrestled through at Synod. This was recommitted to the committee to deal with, to provide clearer reports. But at the end of the day, the general consensus seemed to be that you have to hold fast to what we confess to be members. We're Reformed for a reason.
Chris, one of the things that you talked about at Synod was ecumenical relations. Now, when some people hear the word ecumenical, they think of compromise. What happened at Synod, and why is it significant?
Well, yeah, this took up a lot of our time at Synod, dealing with ecumenical relations. And this is very important because it does show our broader unity with those churches with whom we are like-minded and confess the same things. At Synod, we dealt with a number of issues concerning ecumenical relations and churches with whom we're moving into phase relationship with. One particular body was the Canadian Reformed Churches. That was a big discussion. That's probably the church in the United Reformed Churches that we have pursued the strongest to have ecclesiastical fellowship with. One of the things that was raised at Synod was the concern that we moved or moving too quickly to pursue this. I think one of the great issues here is, does John chapter 17 command full ecclesiastical fellowship? There are some of the brothers who believe that it does. I'm very happy with the advances and the strides that we've made, but I'm not convinced that John 17 commands that. It was the Lord's Prayer, but we recognize on this side of heaven that that won't be realized until he returns. But anyway, that being said, we are moving forward with those churches with whom we are like-minded, and it is something important to pursue, but there are issues that have to be straightened out, doctrinal issues, issues of practice, ecclesiology, and church life. As we work out those things, we move forward in that.
Thanks, Chris. That's it for Westminster Weekend. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Clark. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for another episode of Westminster Weekend. For more audio like this, go to wscal.edu/officehours. This program comes to you from Westminster Seminary, California, a biblical, confessional, reformed seminary in Southern California. Find us on the web at wscal.edu. Call us at 888-480-8474 or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. And now here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.